I'm Dane Young with UGASports.com, as always, with my friend, former Georgia head coach Jim Donnan. And coach, again, we have another one of your former coaching friends, but as well, a media friend for us.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have one of my best friends in coaching or media or anywhere in Houston Nutt. Houston did a terrific job as a player. One of the few guys that I know that played basketball and football in college. Really good job playing at Arkansas and at Oklahoma State. Got a chance to play basketball for Coach Sutton there too. And then had a really good career in coaching. Not many people say they can beat the national champions like they did and when they beat Tim Tebow down there when he was at Ole Miss, and a lot of big wins at Arkansas. You're going to ask him about all the championships they won there. But Houston, it's great to have you on here today, and we're going to be talking to you a little bit about media and everything else. But how's everything going out there in Dallas?
Going really good, Jim. Been getting a lot of rain here lately, but everybody's doing good, and good to be on here with you, man. Y'all looking good.
Yeah, we got about all we can have with what we got, but tell us a little bit about, we're going to talk about the past here in a little bit, but tell us a little about the media situation you're in now every week working with CBS, and I know last year was out of sorts a little bit with COVID, but I know you go up to and cover games every weekend in the studio. How's that like working for CBS, and is that your plan for this year too?
Jim, it's hard to believe I'm going on my 10th year. And never thought I'd be in this thing for 10 years, but I'm real, you know, very appreciative of CBS. I leave every Thursday. I live in McKinney, Texas, go to DFW, leave Thursday morning, and Friday, Saturday, we're in the studio, fly back home Sunday, and do it for about 20 straight weeks. A little bit of a grind, but hey, I don't know what else I would do. Get to watch a lot of football. I work with some great guys. And just very appreciative. Now, last year you mentioned, Jim, last year was much, much different. Because of COVID, we stayed home. And that was tough. They brought the cameras to the to your home. And there was a delay, a little bit. That was a little tough. But we fought through it and got some things done. I tell you, the technology of this thing is just unbelievable. Just like all these Zoom calls now that, hey, we've gotten used to it. Even old school coaches like you and I, hey, we're into Zoom and all these other things.
Yeah, I mean, when I said to you, we got this link and everything, you're right on it. Whereas some of these coaches I ask, it's like, what? What's that? You know, so you're all over it. So I know the fans here in Athens were fortunate enough to have you here last year, and I got a chance to see you over at the hotel, but you actually got to speak at our touchdown club, and you were really excited about the kind of turnout you had here.
I tell you, that there's such an enthusiasm. You know, I have such respect for Georgia. Of course, the job you did there, the always athletes in the state of Georgia. And it goes all the way back for me when Frank Broyles and Dooley went against each other in the Cotton Bowl. So even though we weren't in the SEC when I was growing up, I always had my eye on Georgia. So I have a lot of respect for the Bulldogs. And, yeah, I got to speak to two clubs. They're always so, boy, just passionate, enthusiastic. And, boy, they're excited about their Bulldogs now. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, we're going into this year. Everybody's talking about Georgia-Clemson in that first game. How you see that game? What do you think about these two teams?
Well, I'll tell you what, both of them so athletic. Kirby Smart, Dabo Sweeney, both have done a great job recruiting, Coach, as you know. And so there's going to be athletes on the field at every position. So to me, you know, you look at when you lose that quarterback like Clemson, you lose a quarterback like that. Well, that's got to be a little bit of a drop there. And so going to look really hard at that and see how they do on offense. You lose a Travis Etienne, you lose a Trevor Lawrence, and they, you know, they could get the ball up and down the field. And so I'm real excited about it. You know, I don't know that much about who's the replacements. Don't know yet. We're just now starting to study these teams. So just now starting. But I'll say this, though, Jim. I'm jealous a little bit. You get to go to practice right there at Athens. I had the privilege to talk to Kirby Smart, you know, at the Peach Bowl Challenge. And I tell you what, he really respects you and really appreciates you coming to practice. And there's some things that, you know, that you see that help him ever so often. So I tell you what a great relationship y'all have. And that's an awesome, awesome deal.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but don't say too much about that because most of these people think I don't ever go over there. I don't go that much, but they always ask me what's going on, but I can't tell them on these sites and right. All. I just have to act like I'm not listening to them. So, but Dane certainly is ready to go and ask you a question here. Dane, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, Houston, I think when our fan base thinks of you, they probably first think of in terms of Georgia and Arkansas and the SEC championship in 2002. And I know you probably don't have as many positive memories from that scoreboard, but just your general memories from that game, what was that day like for you? Because it was monumental for Georgia.
I'll tell you what, we were very excited about coming to Atlanta, Georgia, to play in the championship game. There's no doubt about it. But I knew in the back of my mind, we were limping into that game. We had a lot of people that were hurt. But I tell you what, I don't think it would have made any difference who Georgia played that day. If you recall now, David Pollack, you got Richard Seymour. Those are the two names that stick out in my mind because we couldn't block them. And, Coach, you know, when you get in those games sometimes when you feel like, oh, my goodness, we got to have four hands on these guys just to get the ball off. And that's the way we felt. We got a punt blocked early. And boy, the momentum and the crowd noise, I felt like is a true home game for Georgia in that Atlanta Dome, that Georgia Dome. That was a tough day for us. Now, we were excited about the year, excited about being there, but I don't like recalling that game too much because that was a whooping.
Yeah, well, at least you got there, and most of those people in Arkansas now do backflips to win five or six games. You know, I know that you spend a lot of time there. Your mother still lives there, and you've got a lot of good friends there in the state and do some radio. What do you think the state of the Hogs is right now with Sam Pittman there? And certainly they were kind of going backward there, and we talked about that for a couple of years, but seems like at least he's steadied the ship a little bit.
Well, you're right, Jim, and that's the feeling right there when I go in the airport, and I've been to Little Rock, been to Arkansas two or three times. That's the feeling that you have. There's an excitement there. They're excited about Sam Pittman. Did a good job there of really turning things around a little bit. Now, they won three conference games. You got to remember, like you mentioned, they had won a conference game. There was a time they hadn't won a conference game in two seasons, two full 2.5 years. And so he's turned things around. Felipe Franks really helped him last year, having experience at quarterback. It's going to be interesting to me, as you and I always talk about, it comes back to who's the point guard, who's that quarterback for Arkansas. If you look at Jefferson, who played against Missouri, had a good game against Missouri last year, looks like he'll be the guy. So that's going to be the key, but he's got a lot of guys back. They got a lot of confidence. And when you get confidence, well, you got a chance. What'll be interesting, Coach, if you look at the non-conference, they play Texas in Fayetteville very, very early. That'll be interesting because, as you know, that's a big rival going back to the days of the Southwest Conference. And so I'm going to be real curious how they play. Barry Odom did a great job defensively for him, creating turnovers, getting the ball back to the offense. But who will be the quarterback? Who's going to make it happen? Things like that, we don't know yet.
Well, another thing that the fans don't realize is guys like me and you get to go to practices and all, and you've been tight with Nick Saban over years with your association being a coach just like me. But tell us about what it's like to go over there to Alabama and see those players and watch them practice.
I was very appreciative of Nick Saban. When I got fired by Ole Miss, he was one of the few coaches besides yourself that reached out to me, Jim. And so he allowed me to come to practice. And right off the bat, the one thing you notice, if you look at his support staff from nutrition to academics, training room, weight room, it's buttoned up. It's buttoned up. And the one thing that's impressive, there's nobody standing around during practice. There'll be two middle drills. There'll be two pass skills, two teams. Things are moving. Nobody's standing around. Got a lot of things done. And there is coaching going on. And the one thing that I admire about Nick, he was in the individual periods. It was him. He was throwing the balls. He was coaching hard the defensive backs. I mean, he was coaching hard. And so when you see that leader that's out there rolling up your sleeves, getting down there, getting dirty with them, teaching, you know, just getting after it, boy, you really respect that. And I've never seen a coach after he wins, coach, he can put his foot right back on the pedal within 24, 48 hours. He doesn't celebrate very long. And to me, that's the key. You know, a lot of coaches will take a deep breath. Hey, I did it. I won a championship. I won a national championship. Every year, he seems like he gets the best players. You know, he's number one or number two, mostly number one in the recruiting. And you look at his players, you look at the draftees this past year, unbelievable. So he's done a great job, and he's got it going. And to me, he's just – he has the ability to say this very important word, next. If somebody goes down, he can say next. Somebody gets hurt, next. And so just like Mac Jones, we didn't know who Mac Jones was. It was all about Tua Tagovailoa, coach. And you and I talked about this. He comes in and he knows what to do with the ball, well coached, and all of a sudden you look up and Mac Jones is a top draft choice. So I love the way they develop players, and the bottom line is they win.
You got that right.
You mentioned Houston, your tenure at Ole Miss. What's your take on what Lane Kiffin is doing with the Rebels up there in Oxford now?
Well, the Rebels are there. Everybody's going to be excited about their offense. So, you know, when you look at Ole Miss, he's creative. He can make some things happen. And he had a good quarterback in Corral. You know, he had some weapons. And he lost a very good wide receiver. But the bottom line for Ole Miss is they've got to play defense. You've got to stop somebody. And that's been the downfall. And so he's got to do – it's a total, complete juggling act. When you go recruiting, you just can't zero in on one position or two positions or stay on the offensive side. It's defensive line. It's linebackers. It's corners. And to me, that's been a problem with the last few years is defensively. And so I'm anxious to see how Lane corrects that. Offensively, you feel like, boy, when he puts his game plan together, he's always been creative. He has a way to get the ball in the hands of playmakers, and Ole Miss seems to have that. And I'm anxious to see what happens now, again, with a few guys leaving the program, who steps in.
Yeah, that's certainly a good take on that. I think Matt Luke, their offense was very similar the year before. I mean, everybody's going crazy about Kiffin, but we'll see how they do. But another interesting take that you have that a lot of our fans aren't really familiar with Brian Harsin. You actually were his college coach when you were at Boise State for a year. What do you think about him coming into – you and I have talked about it off the air, but coming into Auburn from as kind of an outsider. Tell us a little bit about Brian Harsin.
Well, Brian Harsin is a competitor. He was a backup quarterback for me at Boise State. Very smart. If you go back and look at his career, excellent job of mixing things up offensively. Was a good play caller. Really good on offense. Studied the game. And a good, solid person. The thing that you and I have talked about, Jim, this is a big step. Boise State, heck of a program, did a great job. But now when you step into Auburn, and one of the biggest things, the biggest hurdles, is what they just got through asking me about at University of Alabama. And that's the big brother. That's the big giant there in your same state. And that's very hard. He'll see right off the bat how hard it is recruiting in that state when Alabama is constantly on everybody's tip of the tongue. And it's not easy. So that will be a learning curve when you look at recruiting, when you look at the SEC, the West, the competitive, it's a whole different game. But the thing about Brian Harsin, hey, he will study, he will work from daylight to exhaustion. And I think it's important that he's got some coaches on his staff, coach, that had some SEC experience. And of course, you know one very, very well. I think that will help him because he needed that. Because when you go in here blind, without the SEC experience, that makes for a long season, long day.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mike Bobo and everybody's all jacked up about Derek Mason, but, you know, he's a good guy, man. Never won any games. We'll just have to see how he does it. I mean, he did some good things at Stanford. But, you know, one of the things that our fans are always wanting to know, you're up there at CBS, you're out there in Texas. What's the national perception right now of where Georgia is under Kirby Smart?
Every conversation that I hear, it's here. Hey, Georgia's right there. They're right there. when Georgia had a 10-point lead on Alabama. I hear that conversation a lot. Hey, they're right there. Kirby Smart is recruiting. He's a Georgia man. He understands the culture. He understands the university. He understands all that needs to understand about the SEC. He's worked under Nick. And so you have a lot of positive about recruiting, about the young men that he's signing, the way he's developing, the way he's coaching. And so, of course, the next step, Jim, as you know, is, hey, they want that championship. When's that coming? And that's the thing about this game. It'd be a great, great game if we all we had to do is just kind of show up and go to practice and get these guys going. But they keep score. They keep score every Saturday in the toughest league in America, and it's not easy. But the conversation, to answer your question, there's a lot of positive, a lot of excitement. What's going to happen next? And especially with your quarterback. And your quarterback that didn't start early, was hurt, or whatever the reason was, and now he's there. Is he going to be the guy that pushes them over the top, get back in that championship game, win that game? And then when you win the SEC game, as you know, Jim, hey, you're going to the big one. You're going to the Final Four. You're going to the championship, the national championship game.
Yeah, two games I want to talk to you about in your career, which was obviously at Arkansas. They do backflips to have your record there now. But the game against Tennessee in 98 and the game where you beat Tebow and the national championship Florida team. Just tell us a little bit about what went into both those games, because you were so close to setting that putting Tennessee on the mat that day.
Coach, in 1998, Danny Ford had done a good job recruiting players, but they hadn't won, and they didn't believe. Had a great group. Brandon Burlesworth, Clint Sterner, Anthony Lucas, Chukwuma, Ryan Hale, Zach Painter, Kenoa Kennedy. All these kids would do anything. I mean, they were fighters, the winners. We got off to a heck of a start. We beat Alabama with Sean Alexander, one of our first conference games. That was the game that gave us confidence. We beat them like 42-6. And I mean, we got after them on both sides of the ball. That really catapulted us, took us to another level, and we started gaining confidence. All of a sudden, we go to Rocky Top, Coach. We're 8-0. We're 8-0. It's a little bit of a rain. And there's 100,000-plus fans in the stand. And guess what? We got them quiet. We got them quiet going in the fourth quarter. Had this game won, we're basically trying to run out the clock. And my right guard stepped on the foot of a quarterback. It was a little wet that night. And Clint tried to use that ball. It's almost like a crutch. That ball popped out and fumbled it. Tennessee recovered it. Next play or the play after, they score. And they win. And how about this? Tennessee goes on and wins the national title. Mm-hmm. And so that was a heartbreaker, but it was a heck of a game all the way to the end. And we had two or three things happen besides that fumble that really hurt us. But I couldn't have been prouder of a group that really had won four games back to back, and they turned it. As far as Tim Tebow, when we went to Ole Miss, very similar to the 98. That's these two teams were so similar, Coach. They had no confidence. Michael Orr, the blind side guy, has a great story. Michael Wallace, Parade Jerry, all these guys were good athletes, never been to a bowl game. And boy, these guys got on a roll. And we got beat by Vanderbilt the week before. And Coach, I did something that you had done in the past. I pointed out, you know, hey, listen, we're going to Florida. I meet with the team 48 hours prior to just myself and the team. I said, listen, nobody gives us a chance outside this room. Nobody gives us a chance to go down here in the swamp and win. We're about a 33-point underdog. But I want to show you five plays at Vanderbilt. When we all play together, we can beat anybody in the country. And I showed them five plays where we took care of the ball. Everybody takes a good step. Everybody knew who to block. And then showed a couple plays on defense. Everybody outside arm free, good step, hitting the ball, carry ball pops out. I said, now I'm going to show you five plays at Vanderbilt where we hit somebody out of bounds, ball's, you know, loose, we fumble it, we turn it over. Here's the difference. It's little bitty things. And so we took that attitude to Florida. Nobody gave us a chance. And all of a sudden, instead of giving the ball away, we got three turnovers that day. And we got it to the fourth quarter. I'll never forget Marshae Green come up to me at about the end of the third quarter. We're up by seven. He says, Coach, we're going to win. We're going to win today. I said, well, Marshae, What did you say? We're going to win the day, coach. I said, okay, well, look, go back out there and cover Percy Harvin because we still got a quarter left, okay? And Percy Harvin's up and down the field. He's a great athlete, as you know. But, man, this defense did such a great job of stopping him. And then Dexter McCluster took off, had him in a little bit of a wildcat, mixed up a few things. And then Jevin Snead played excellent. And we won that game. And that's the game, coach. I'm glad you brought it up. That's the game, if you recall. Tim Tebow went to the podium and he made his famous speech. You'll never see another player that's going to work hard as I do. And, you know, and the thing I love about Tim Tebow, he not only said it now, he backed it up. And they go on and win the national title. Now, if you go back to Arkansas, Jim, we did the same thing versus Les Miles in three overtimes. We go to Baton Rouge and Darren McFadden, the guys, we beat LSU. And they go on and win the national championship. So we had two of those games like that that our guys played lights out for 60 minutes or and even in overtime.
Yeah, that was those are just great memories for SEC fans. And one of the things that you and I talked about when I had Hines Ward about the Wildcat, because we were doing a little bit of that, and then I got out of coaching. I know you did such a tremendous job. What went into your thinking there with McFadden there, what you did? How'd that work out?
You know, the one thing that happened during Tua days, I just hired Gus Miles on, and he did a lot of that in high school, and he wanted to bring it back. And I never will forget, it was the second week of Tua days, and Danny, my brother, was a running back coach, and he said, you want to make this Wildcat really go? And I said, what do you mean? It's got some good things, but if you really want to make this thing go, when I recruited Darren way back, my brother recruited him, he played a little bit of quarterback. He had good ball skills, coach. He could hand it. He could throw. Had a natural throwing motion. And so long story short, we put him at the direct snap. That's when it took off. Felix Jones coming in lightning motion, and it slowed everybody down. I can remember the Tennessee game. The eyes of the linebackers, they're watching Felix Jones, and all of a sudden fakes to him, and we run the same two or three plays, whether it be a power, an inside zone, or a counter. All the blocking's the same, but it was that lightning sweep motion. But Darren McFadden at the direct snap took it to a whole nother level. And I don't know if you remember, David Lee was my offensive coordinator there at 1 year. He took it to the NFL and had success with it for a few weeks until they caught on. But I tell you, when you have a guy that can fly and just keep him honest enough with just a little bit of throwing, you don't have to throw it too much. Most people will try to blitz that. But watch out, because if it's blocked just right or we turn the furthest one away, Darren McFadden or Dexter McCluster, they'll hit a crease.
Houston, not just SEC, but I tell people that I think the most entertaining rivalry in all of sports is the Egg Bowl. So do you have a favorite Egg Bowl story or a funny thing that happened to you surrounding an Egg Bowl?
Well, I tell you what, that was the first time, Dane, that I was really – I really found out what a rival was about. If you remember now, Arkansas, we had to manufacture a rival. You know, we were in the SEC, and we really, you know, coming from the Southwest Conference, David Basil, one of the sportscasters down in Little Rock, made up the boot. He helped the rival with LSU, Arkansas. Now they're trying to go Missouri, Arkansas. So there's not a natural rival. And so all of a sudden I get to Ole Miss. And I never will forget that first year. We went 52-6. And at Arkansas, our team had beaten Mississippi State 9 out of 10 times. Jackie Sherrill was a coach there, had great teams. But we won 9 out of 10 times. I didn't think anything of it. The very next year, I go and get my horse feed at Pontotoc, Mississippi, 15 minutes from my house. We're going to the Cotton Bowl. We're going to go play Mike Leach. I thought we'd be happy. I go in that store to get my horse feed. I said, hey, how y'all doing? And I noticed immediately change of attitude from the previous year. All the guys that were packing my horse feed, my truck, very end of the conversation, Coach Nutt, make sure next year you beat Mississippi State. I said, whoa, no wonder. I couldn't figure out why y'all had such a bad attitude and were kind of mad at me, but now I get it. I thought y'all were going to be happy. We're going to the Cotton Bowl. We won 9 or 10 games, but no, it was that one rival. It's that one game, and we got beat that year, and man, did they let me have it. And so I learned a valuable lesson. And during the week, they'd come in, guys from Mississippi State, some of the college kids would come in ringing cowbells. And, you know, I thought there's a rule about no noisemakers. Hey, let me tell you something. There's going to be noisemakers in that stadium, and they'll come to your stadium to let you know you're going to hear the cowbells. So big rival, big rival.
Yeah, that's a good – I tell you, that's a tough place to play. Finishing up today here, Houston, a couple things here with that are really saying in college football. What's your take on the transfer portal and where you think we're going with that?
Yeah. Well, Coach, I tell you what, this is a whole different level. When I listen to coaches talk about transfer portal, you know, to me, it's free agency now. And that's a whole new way of recruiting. I looked, somebody told me the other day there's 3,000 plus kids now in the transfer portal. And so I don't know where our game's going. I hate this point. You know, you and I both have helped kids transfer. If things don't work out, hey, I get it. But I hate when you can leave after the first scrimmage. I hate when you can leave after the first game. Hey, things didn't go right. I got knocked down. You got me on the bench, Coach. I'm going to put my name in the transfer portal. What? So there's no commitment. There's no, hey, stick to it. That's the part I don't like. Again, I understand some people going to, after a year or two and things don't go right. I understand. I'm all for it. I want you to play. Go play. But this transferring too quick, between that and this likeness thing, well, I just think you're opening up a can of worms. You know, just think about the days when you had Hines Ward and say I had Darren McFadden, and they're making deals at car dealerships. They're going to sign on the open date, and they're going to get paid money. And you can just see the Felix Jones and the Peyton Hillises and Matt Jones. You're going to have players come in your office and say, Coach, what about my deal? Where's my deal? Maybe I need to get a better agent. And you start thinking about all those other things, because when I look at what they get, Coach, I was excited when I played for Frank Broyles. I got a $6.25 laundry check. I was excited. I had to say I got $2 for gas, $2 for a hamburger, maybe a movie. And then I look at it today, they get cost of attendance close to $5,000 or more. If you're eligible for a Pell Grant, you still get that. There's an SEC Opportunity Fund. You get all the food, all the tutors you need. I mean, there's so many things. What a great time to be a student athlete right now. I would love to go back and get what a lot of these guys are getting right now, because I think they're in good shape. But we're in a different world. I'm kind of concerned about where we're going, Coach. Like, I guess I'm a little bit old school.
Me and you both, I'm going to ask you one question, and Dane's going to figure it out, finish it up. But tell us what it's like coaching Barry Sanders, Heisman Trophy, and what it was like playing against us at Boomer Sooner, man.
Wow. Well, I tell you, well, first of all, I didn't coach Barry Sanders. Bill Shimmick did. I coached Hartley Dykes, but I got to watch Barry Sanders and, how about this, Thurman Thomas every single day. Tremendous work ethic. Unbelievable. Every time you hand them the ball, they ran for 50 yards. I mean, I love watching these guys practice. They love competing. They were phenomenal. The one game, Coach, the one game, it was your school, you and Barry Switzer. That was the one game we couldn't ever get over the hump. We thought the year we had Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas, hey, that's going to be our year. And it was tight, but we couldn't get it done. But to answer your question, I have such respect. You're talking about a rival again, Dane, Oklahoma State. Man, OU has such tradition, but Oklahoma State's done some great things. I love Oklahoma State, but that's a tough, tough rival now.
You've got a unique perspective where you were an SEC coach for more than 10 years. Now you've been an SEC broadcaster for 10 years. Where do you see the game in the SEC kind of evolving from here, and what it's going to do? We've seen the passing game explode. What do you think's next?
And you look back, you know, last 20 years, 10 years, when you look at the game, it's changed so much. And to me, it starts with, when you talk to those, you know, look at Nick Saban, who'd ever think Nick Saban would change? When you look at his offense, it's always been downhill, right? Offense, don't mess it up. Take care of the ball, run right at you, maybe play action. But when you look at it now, they're scoring 50 points a game. And so the days of scoring 24 points and let's play good defense, those days are gone. And so we look at linemen that can go downfield a little bit, and you can put the ball in the belly of a back and ride it. And the linebacker's got to think, hey, it's got to be a run. And all of a sudden he throws it right behind him. it's different. And when you can spread the field from sideline to sideline with great athletes, I don't see many people tackling. You know, I don't see a lot of people being physical. The Georgia will be physical. Alabama will be physical. But there's a lot of teams that sometimes it's like they don't tackle until the game and it shows up. And so to answer your question, Dane, I just see it going forward with fast break and fast football. We're going to put point board and the defense is constantly trying to catch up and you're trying to sign some athletes on defense that can move and run and tackle in space.
Well, Houston, we appreciate the time today. It's just been really good to see you in person here and also listen to some of these stories. I know our fans are going to be fired up to hear what you had to say about the conference, about Georgia and in general. And just glad to be your friend, man. You've been very loyal to me and I appreciate you, what you stand for, not only as a coach, but as a man. We got a lot of respect for you.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim. Appreciate having me. Got a lot of respect for you. And I got to have a good conversation with Kirby Smart, and he knows how loyal you are to the program. And boy, I tell you what, that is an awesome deal. Sitting on this side of the fence watching, that's an awesome deal to have that kind of relationship.
All right. Well, appreciate it. And you going to cut us off there, Dane?
All right. That's it from UGASports.com. We'll keep bringing you great guests on this feed on YouTube and our podcast. Make sure you're subscribing, and we'd appreciate any reviews that you have. For head coach Jim Donnan, we thank Houston Nutt. I am Dane Young. Until next time.